Pickaxe.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome to 0 Degrees, the podcast with no qualifications where we solve your complications. I'm Lydia and I'm joined by Harry and Ravs. How are you guys doing?
I'm very tired.
We're doing good. Everyone's a bit in pieces this week, I think, Lydia. We're back hot off the boat from America.
Off
the Titanic. We came back from the Titanic, of course. No, we're absolutely destroyed. Ravs and I have been in America for like, I don't know, was it like 10 days or 9 days?
9 days, I think. 9 or 10 days.
It
feels
so
like it was like
long.
2 weeks.
It was great.
Yeah.
But we're jet lagged and hungover. My feet hurt. My body hurts.
Yeah.
And you're ill, Lydia. To answer that.
And I'm ill. It's less exciting than your adventures.
It's like you were like a little voodoo doll that was with us and we just, you're paying the price for us or something.
Oh, this is why I felt like really fucking hungover every day. And I haven't had a drop to drink in like 2 weeks.
That's why you feel like shit, okay?
That's why I feel like shit. Oh my God. I'm going through withdrawal. This isn't a chest infection.
No, get this lady some fucking booze right now. Sort her out.
So while I've been sitting at home not drinking, you've been doing the complete opposite. Out of home, out every night, boozing it up in America. I want to hear from both of you one little funny story about your trip.
Oh God.
Okay.
Do you know what? As we were leaving the end of the trip, I'll try and get one in a second, but as we were leaving the end of the trip, I was struggling to remember the beginning of the trip.
Same.
I can't remember it. I couldn't name to you what we did on a day. Like, that's bad, isn't it? That's like so depressing. So I mean, there's some standout funny moments for me. I feel like I certainly remember Vegas a lot more. I feel like the last day in Vegas maybe was actually my favorite day of the entire trip.
The hangover day in Vegas. That was so good.
We basically had been drinking for so much that we decided on the last day, because we're flying home quite early the day afterwards, we're just not we're not going to touch. No one's going to touch any alcohol. No one had a single drop, which I know.
You're heroes.
It's actually quite hard to do in Vegas. Like, it's pretty.
Vegas is the
party
place.
You've been to Vegas, Lydia. You know it is. All of it is tempting.
It's a drinky place. Yeah.
But we were just so delirious from lack of sleep and from like too much booze. It was just really funny. You know, Sarah went on this gambling journey where she was collecting like 10p slips and like slowly built it up to like $20. It was amazing. We went to like this buffet. We queued for like an hour to get in.
Oh my God.
And just like the conversation just went dire. Everyone around us hated us because we were just like chatting the most shit. It's just one of those days where you're just having fun, hanging out with the homies, and everyone just feels like they're on form and being silly. And I feel like that was like, that was my favorite.
Real silly goose time.
Aww.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cute.
I think mine's was when we were absolutely smashed after dancing at the very expensive Vegas nightclub Omnia. We decided to phone Daff at 5 a.m. for us or something.
No. Yeah. Oh my god, I bet he fucking hates you.
5 a.m. in Vegas is like midday / like early afternoon. Daff was at work.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. I thought you meant it was 5 a.m. his time. I was about to say, all right, no, that's
we
all
just
right,
phoned
then.
Daff super fucking at night in Caesar's Palace, just speaking into him while we're at a bar, just like, all right, Daff, how you doing, mate? Everything all right?
The thing is, I remember us doing that, but then we were so fucked. I can't find whose phone we even called him on.
I think it was Discord on my phone or something.
Maybe.
I think we Discord called him, which is even worse.
I mean, I did also somehow. I also WhatsApp video called my girlfriend when we were in the club.
Oh my God.
She was just at work and I was absolutely fucked. Just like, look at this. It's just, you know, like, it's like 11 in the morning in the UK. She's having like a normal Wednesday.
Yeah, I was like texting my brother who was like at work or some shit. Like, just me being a fucking degenerate in this place. Oh.
It's funny. I think it's funny to, you know, do that. I'm sad we didn't do one for Lydia. We should have fucking
focused. Oh, yeah. Where was Michael? Lydia, yeah. I'm lying there hacking my phlegmy little lungs out. Glad you're having a great time, guys.
So it was great. It was, you know what? I'm really interested because I feel like I asked Ravs a little bit of it along the way, but it was Ravs' first time in America and his first transatlantic flight.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a lot of firsts for Ravs on this trip. First time I like got that.
And that too. First, like that. Oh, yeah. Proud of
first
you,
Ravs. First time I got fingered on an early strip. It was great.
No, what do you reckon, Ravs? What's your American consensus? Because me and Liz have been there a fair amount.
Transatlantic flights can absolutely suck my asshole. Like that. Mm-hmm. Like both sides were kind of miserable. At least I didn't get jet lag when I was in America. I was totally fine. Like, I timed it. Yeah,
oh, really?
I didn't sleep for the flight before. So I was really tired, but when I got on the plane, I slept and I felt great when I landed in Cali. But now that
good.
I've landed
okay,
back
yeah.
in the UK, I think I've like accumulated a debt because I feel like shit. I'm just so tired. Like,
it's also much easier going the time distance towards America because you just stay awake for like an extra couple hours.
You just stay awake.
Whereas instead, when you come back here, suddenly time goes double speed as you're flying and you have to like go to sleep early or stay, and it's just like it blows you out way harder than like force yourself to go to sleep is way harder than staying awake.
Absolutely. I had a fucking great time though. The food was pretty good there. There was just way too much of it though. It was like the portion sizes were crazy. Like those California burritos we had, Harry, like, oh my fucking God.
It's like 3,000 calories.
We could have shared one of those, and that was breakfast. Yeah. That was fucking breakfast. I was like full for the whole day off that shit.
It's kind of grim. I kind of don't like being served that much food. Like, it makes me feel, I'm just like, what? Sluggish. Yeah, it's like, ugh, I don't know.
I popped into Ravs' stream the other day.
Oh, no.
Because he's like back home and I got the notification and I was like, oh, how's my buddy Ravs doing? Opened it. The first thing he says when I open the stream is, I took massive shits in America or something like that. And I just clicked away. I was like, I'm not in the right state of mind for this.
So I was telling the story of how in San Diego, you know, I was getting ready to go out for the day and I'd just done an exceptionally large shit. And me and Sips have a very special relationship where like I will, you know, we share that information with each other. Mm. And I, you know, I was like, you know what, I'll tell my buddy Sips, I'll give him a little bowel update that I'm taking huge shits. But Sips was streaming at the time, I didn't realise because of the time difference. And he just read that out on his stream. So that's why I was telling that story. But it was true though, man. Like America, I don't know what you put in your food. I don't know if it's like the chemicals to make your shit grow big, but like I was doing some huge dumps, man. Huge dumpies in their weird toilets.
I don't like American toilets with that water that's so high.
Why is the water so high?
No.
Did you get any splashback?
No, I didn't. But like, I didn't like it.
It almost has the poo shelf. It almost like,
it's
so like weirdly shaped. It almost has the poo shelf.
Because it's like long, right? It's like a long bowl. Yeah.
It's
like,
very strange.
There was gaps in the bathroom stalls, like everyone said there would be. That was weird as hell. I could see people washing their hands while
really
I was doing
the pee-pee.
I really
don't like that. Like, that really freaks me out. That doesn't make me feel safe. That makes me feel extremely unsafe.
Yeah.
Anyone could just go and have a
pee. Exactly.
You know?
Yeah,
anyone.
I hate that. Ugh.
It's so weird. Ravs texted me when you guys were out there and said, so is this true, right? When you went to the fancy club... A double was $50.
Yeah, I had to pay a $50.
No. The price of drinks out there was eye-watering. I stopped thinking about it.
$50 for a double.
I stopped thinking about it.
No. How many drinks did you buy in there?
We were drinking beers. The beers were $14 each.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah,
$14 is basically £13.
I mean, yeah, it's still ridiculous.
Insane.
£13 for a beer. No. But $50 for a double? What did you get? Like a whiskey and Coke or something?
Yeah, it wasn't even fancy whiskey. It was Jack Daniels.
Oh my God, that is hot. Yeah. What, did you, was it, I want to be there the moment he told you, like, that'll be $50.
Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah, because they
Your
all went,
face
out,
must
they
have
went
been...
to Caesar's Palace while I was like getting ready and they all got on the guest list to the
yeah,
club.
We got scouted.
And I was like,
we got scouted. They were like, these are literally strapping 50... young people. Come to our club.
I was literally 15 minutes behind them, so they'd like left already, and I was like, well, I'll just like go hang out in my casino then. I'll just like do a gambling here or whatever. Fine, I don't need friends in Vegas. And then they all got like VIP invites to the club or whatever. I had to buy a VIP pass myself because, you know,
no!
I was a man.
How and much was it?
For a man, it was like $150.
So it's
for
no!
a woman.
Literally, works. It's so fucked. I was like, that.
What? Uh-huh.
That is like.
But if you were a girl, the same pass was like $15.
No fucking way. Yeah. $150 for a man and $15 for a woman.
It was
that is
crazy.
Terrible. Oh my yeah. God. And you guys got it for free and Ravs had to pay?
They didn't get free. I got $100 bar tab with mine. They didn't.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
But instantly
okay.
spunked half of my bar tab on that one drink.
Honestly, no. On this £14 beers, you would have been fine for that $100.
I would have been great on yeah. the £14
You'd
beers.
Have had, like, eight yeah. beers or something. Quick yeah. Minutes.
So the guy texted me, Caesar's Palace Hotel, ladies free.
Oh.
From 10 till 1 a.m. Even ratio / better before 1 a.m. So that means basically if you come as a group that has an even ratio of boys to girls, you all get in for free or better. So like it, I'm just like.
And you were two boys
yeah,
and two
yeah,
girls.
So they were like, oh, you can come. But I was just like, that's. I feel like you don't say that. I feel like you don't say that. Isn't that weird? I've never yeah. had that in a British nightclub.
I guess it's because they probably are used to like loads of stag do's mm. and like boy trips of just, and then they don't want the club just to be full of men.
Yeah.
They want there to be loads of women in there as well to like, you know, even it out. So they try and put as much incentive as to get women in there as possible.
It just seems yeah. weird.
But it is
it just
bullshit.
Feels, I don't
bullshit.
Care it's bullshit. It just feels seedy to me. There's something weird
it
about
seedy.
It that feels seedy.
Yeah.
Like,
it is seedy.
Oh, I don't know. I really didn't agree with that.
I had even more of it. This nightclub night cost me so much fucking money because I was like, okay, I didn't think we were doing this, so I didn't like bring like suit trousers, fucking a shirt, some dress shoes or anything. And I was like, oh, what's the dress code for tonight? And apparently it's very strict. I was like, well, I'm like wearing my nice off-white t-shirt. I'm wearing Yeezys. I'm like, I'll probably get in, right? Like, and then I texted the little concierge person. And they were like, no, you will be refused entry if you wear sneakers or t-shirts. And I'm like, but it's off-white and Yeezys. And they're like, we don't
did
care.
Did you say that?
Yeah,
oh
I did
God,
say, I did
love
say that.
That's flexing so funny. The brand name.
I did flex
ain't
on them a little
no
bit.
Primark.
I did flex on them a little bit, but they said no. And I was like, okay. So I had to go buy like the most expensive fucking shoes ever because I had like 10 minutes before everyone was getting ready to leave and a shirt that was like fucking expensive as shit as well.
How much?
So
come on,
it.
You've got to give us the numbers,
right,
Brad.
Like $160 shirt and like $170
Holy
shoes or
fuck.
Something.
No.
Yeah, so this night out cost me a lot of money.
How much? Can we get like a
oh,
total
God, the
price
damage
ring
is so
cash
bad.
Register?
$150 for the ticket to this fucking VIP thing because I missed everyone going to Caesar's Palace by 15 minutes. So
right.
Then 100 and, what was it, 60, 160 and 170, what's that together?
So we've got maths, anyone?
I'm doing it. 110.
330, is that right?
170.
No, more than that.
You're 480 at the moment.
$480
on
Jesus
a night
Christ.
Out.
And like I bought me and Duncan Cuban cigars.
Oh my God. How much is
they
a
were
Cuban
50
cigar?
Each, weren't they?
Well, they were 30 each, so they were not real Cuban cigars, okay. Clearly, because apparently that would be omega expensive.
I don't know,
but, like, yep,
I don't even buy them legally. In
that's
the
what the man in the toilet said back here in Vegas, get a Cuban cigar, champ. And I was like, okay. And I bought two of them because I was
he saw you coming a mile away.
I was very drunk. I don't even like cigars, they're awful.
So what? We've got $540
$540
for Raz's night out.
Because Raz, I know, blew through that bar tab easy.
I went through that bar tab
real quick.
I think I ended up buying like three or four more beers after my bar tab. So, maybe add another $60 on something like that. I don't know.
How much did you lose gambling later that night? The night doesn't end now. We got more night to tally.
Oh my God. Okay, carry on. So you went gambling afterwards.
I was very drunk. I decided that it would be a good time to play on the high stakes table.
Oh my God.
I went home. I took Sarah home because I was like, Sarah, you're too drunk to be out and I'm too drunk to be out. We should go home.
That's very sensible of you. I was looking after your dog because
she was way too fucked. And I was like, I'm always too fucked to look after you. But like, if you stay, Sarah, you're going to gamble some stupid money that I know you don't want to do.
Yeah, let's get you home. Okay, so
I wish you did that for me, Mr. Harry.
There was no convincing you guys. You guys were so set on gambling. I was like, fuck this. I'm out.
So what time was
like
that?
5 a.m. Vegas?
5 a.m. Okay. Yeah. So you Duncan and Ozzy went gambling and you went on the high stakes table.
Yeah, I think I put like $100 into craps or something like that and I got like $200. Then I played some blackjack and I think I got up to like 120. So that night when I was very drunk, I was actually up on gambling. The next day, I lost it all.
Oh.
Fuck's sake.
Why didn't you quit whilst you were ahead, Rav?
Because I'm a dumb bitch.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's a great story, though, even if it was hundreds and hundreds of dollars. What a great story.
Do you know what?
Yeah. And great memories.
Do you know what people should do? People should subscribe to the Patreon, because Rav's fucking needs it. Rav needs it now. I need it, but Rav really needs it after this fucking trip.
Yeah, God, please help me. Speaking of Patreons who we've not given any content to, we've actually had a bunch of you sign up, which is kind of crazy.
Look, we've been away. We've literally not been here. To thank you though.
Thank you so much.
I've got a little list of names here. I'll quickly fire through them. We've got Texas Red, Major Dwam, Chronicle, Kieran, Dr. Eggroll, Thomas Young, Foreign, Vask, Devon, Zulhimili.
Well, they're no longer a Patreon.
I'm so sorry I couldn't say your name properly. Max, Kaden, Cameron, Recon, Shane, Caleb, Jacob, Harris, and JC Jensen.
Oh my God.
Motherfucking JC Jensen, our OG
JC
boy.
JC Jensen,
Thank you so much.
Do you
want to
know the most mind-blowing shit? What? We have nothing on there, and most of these people are signed up on the doctoral degree.
I mean, just thank you. Like, thank you so much.
We are in the process
of getting stuff sorted. Now we're back, but it's extremely generous.
After this recording, we're literally going to have a meeting about the Patreon, so we might actually know what we're doing by the time we record the next episode.
Hopefully. I mean, we have some vague plans, but it's very, very kind of you guys to support the podcast, and we hope you're enjoying it.
Thank you.
If you do want to support the Patreon, I believe it is just patreon.com/zerodegrees. I'm literally typing that in to make sure that's correct.
I think we got the URL.
Yeah, we did. Patreon.com/zerodegrees.
Yeah, you can go there. I was going to say check it out, but there's nothing to check out.
There's nothing to check out. Yeah, well, maybe respond to your messages or something, but like, there'll be stuff there soon.
You can go maybe pay off Ravs' gambling debt there. That's what you can do. Yeah. Go and just, you know, help the boy.
No. gambling's bad. PSA gambling's bad. Don't do it.
PSA drinking. Heavy drinking is also bad.
Yeah,
that's also bad. Everything they did was bad. Do not do anything that they did whilst on holiday, because it was bad.
I feel bad. While
I did lose a lot, I set myself a limit that I would be happy to lose, and I stayed within that limit. So
what was the limit? Like, 50K.
How many zeros? Three, four?
There was a certain number of my bank account I didn't want to go under, and I stayed within that realm.
That's good.
Okay.
Did you do much gambling when you went to Vegas, Lydia?
Only a tiny bit. I was too scared. Like, I feel like it'd been drilled into my head too much that, like, gambling on the tables is like, you're going to lose everything you own if you do that. So I only did the slot machines, which was just fun and silly, and probably lost about I don't know, $20 over a few days or whatever. But my friend did the tables and she lost like $200. So
you're not going to win. So like,
no, it's not in your favor. But I think it's, you know, if it's just like you're only there for a couple of days and you just want to try it, as long as it's not, you know, you're spending all of your fucking money. Oh, what's that? So Ravs is showing, for all listeners at home, Raz is showing us his
Planet
chip.
Hollywood $5.
I kept a little $5 chip as a little memento for my first time
in
Vegas.
A reminder to not gamble.
It's a little reminder to never gamble. I have a little. I look at it and I do a little sad face.
You gotta go and do it and dabble a little bit. But like, I think setting a hard limit. I went and gambled. £60 or something. I was just like,
oh my god, man, was I the only motherfucker?
I mean, you lost quite a lot as well. Like me and Sarah were just I would rather spend that money on booze or whatever. Like, do you know what I mean? I feel like that's the tax of having fun rather than gambling be the tax of having fun.
Absolutely,
absolutely. But it's fun to do it a little bit. But also, fuck, I do just hate slot machines. Like, I don't know why I kept doing them. I think they're shit. I think that's like the most scammy piece of shit.
That was another comment I had about America. Las Vegas was the most dystopian shit I've ever seen in my life. Like, walking through a hotel when I was drunk at 4 a.m, seeing like these hollow little sad people that were just like sitting on a slot machine, just feeding it money while like fucking, wouldn't it be nice, like played over the hotel fucking tannoy,
and drinking and smoking inside as well. It's weird seeing that, isn't it?
There's no concept of time. Like, it was just like really depressing. Like, I remember like walking towards my hotel when Safety Dance was playing, and I was just like, wow, this is like really depressing.
It is. It's a weird. So it's just like, I feel like there's a very small like sheen on Vegas that makes it nice, and then otherwise it's just fucking
the most depressing place in the world.
Like, Duncan and I had a fun game where we were knocking on like bits of marble and stuff and just seeing which was plywood, because all of it's just fucking fake, you know, none of it's actually fucking real. It's all like a facade.
The Bellagio fountains, though, there's something magical about that.
Oh, they're lovely.
I dragged the guys to them like 7 times. We were there for like 4 days, but like, I just love them. I love them. I could stand and watch them forever. Like, they are.
It's also, it's so humid there, and you sit in front of those beautiful fountains, and somehow the cooling, there's a cooling breeze coming from the fountains.
Yeah, it feels really good.
It feels nice.
Oh, I'm not, we can't go back. I'm not going back. You can't make me go back.
No, no way. Fuck's sake. If someone offered me a free flight to Vegas right now, I would turn it down
as well. I'd be like, I'm good.
Yeah, I would turn it down. Really? I would turn it down. No, I need a holiday from holidays.
Yeah, you need an actual rest. Like, you guys need some sleep and some water.
Yes, please. Should we do some questions?
Let's do some questions. We've been, we're already 20 minutes into the podcast.
That was a little catch up. We've been gone for 2 weeks.
A little ramble.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey Zero Degrees, I'm a student currently in my final year at uni and living in a shared house. There's 6 of us in total, and as you can imagine, there have been fights, arguments, and all sorts of petty behaviour. We all come from different parts of the UK, and it's clear that our behaviours, humour levels, and ways we deal with serious subjects are majorly different. For me, I'm Northern. And what, I'm not going to do the accent. I was going to slip into it. I was like, oh, no. I'm not going to offend this poor fan. I'm Northern and have been what's called a Northern brutality, where I say things how they are and often joke at inappropriate times. I don't blame this entirely on being Northern, though.
I started watching the Yogscast at age 13 and blame you all for my dark humour and lack of self-control. Just kidding, love you all. There have been multiple occasions now where I've offended someone by making a joke that was a little too offensive for them. And some really low moments where I've said some wrong thing when people are experiencing actual life-changing trauma. Oh my God. It's the way I am. I use humour to deal with trauma. But I understand not everyone does, and it may look like I'm making a joke out of their pain. I genuinely feel terrible that I've caused them pain or upset them, but I'm not sure how to curb my behaviour as it is who I am, and the majority of people in my life are just like me and think I'm funny. I now walk on eggshells, afraid that I will upset someone. So my question to you is, how do I make sure I'm not offending people whilst not changing who I am? So far, all I've tried is avoiding talking to them, but that's not easy in the same house. Please help. You must answer for your crimes. You made me this way. I feel like I can be an abrasive person, but I don't feel like I'm that abrasive that I'm like, I won't talk to anyone. That's a hard one.
I would say that you're not abrasive, Harry.
Do you not
say
you're
very
so?
Like, no, I think you're very like soft and like understanding and.
Yeah, maybe.
Unlike that cunt Rav.
What? I'm a delight.
I feel like just you got to start with empathy, right? Like, sure, it's your way of dealing with stuff and jokes are being funny and dark humour is all good and stuff. But like, we do got to get on with people. So you got to understand when it's the time.
Exactly.
Like, you wouldn't stand up in the middle of a funeral and say that or something. Do you know what I mean? There is context to all of it, right? And you have to just adapt yourself a little bit for each person, I guess. I don't know. It's a tough one.
Yeah,
also, the thing is, the living situation is kind of temporary. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like...
Exactly. It's not forever.
Like, don't beat yourself up. You're in your final year. Just, you can dip it a bit.
It's tricky because they're saying that all their friends from home are like similar, like have similar sense of humor. And I can understand that. I've known people in my life that like absolutely use humor as a way of dealing with like, sad things or traumatic things, and sometimes I also do that as well. However, then I also know very sensitive people that would be incredibly upset. Like, I'm trying to imagine what this scenario is, that someone's having a traumatic life-changing event and they're making a joke.
Yeah.
Like, I can imagine that would be very upsetting.
But that comes from like you understanding each other, right? And maybe it's like uni flatmates, you aren't that good of friends that you're at a point where you can do that. Like,
they just don't.
Yeah.
If you're like really good mates, you could do that. You know,
but
I understand the northern brutality bit as well. Like, all my friends back in Scotland have literally the worst, like, most brutal fucking sense of humor in the world, and like, they just can't, you just can't say that shit anymore.
No.
It's just gotta be a bit softer. You gotta have a bit of empathy with people, you know, like, especially as streamers as well, right? We all have to be really careful with what we say.
Is it also like an age thing though? Because I feel like as kids, you kind of give less of a shit about that. I feel like just inherently as a teenager, you're growing up, you're all testing the boundaries, you're all just dicking around with each other, do you know what I mean? Like, it's all a bit more rough and ready.
Then you mature, right?
As you become an adult, you realise, these people have feelings, I shouldn't be a cunt. Do you know what I mean? Like, whereas a kid,
definitely,
I feel like
definitely.
You are like inherently kind of less empathetic. Like, you're willing to just like say shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, so this person's in their final year, assuming that they went straight into uni, they're about, what, 21 or 22?
Yeah.
I think you're obviously not doing this to be horrible and not doing it intentionally to upset people. But at the same time, I think the onus is on you to, and it sucks, but to kind of like modify your behavior and kind of essentially mirror the people that you're with. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're with a sensitive person, then you have to be careful not to make those kind of jokes, because you do have to like think about how it's affecting other people. And I know it sucks because you're not trying to upset them and it's your way of dealing, but this is kind of just what we have to do as people. Like, we have to
it's in the same way, right? That you wouldn't walk into like a job interview and just instantly start blurting out the most like insane shit. There is like there is a level of like you already have to modify yourself and how you are in every situation you're in. Like,
absolutely, you know, read the room and like find the vibe, and you know, like, be a bit of a social chameleon. Find what kind of humor these people might find funny, or like find the correct way to speak to them. It will help you in all aspects of life, like job interviews. Like, don't crack dark jokes at a fucking job interview, because that's just like, okay, you're not hired. Yeah, yeah. Like, conduct yourself professionally.
Some of it does come from probably you're just not the best mates with these people, and that maybe comes over time. Yeah. But like, then you get to be more of yourself, right? Like, that's your friends know you, and they know, oh, you're making this horrible dark joke, but it's not what actually you mean, or whatever. You know, they can read between the lines of it.
Whereas these people don't.
I don't know how much of it is down to the northern brutality bit. I think that's like an aspect, but I don't know. I feel like they're putting a lot of that on their northernness.
It's almost like an excuse to the way that they
I mean, act, they said that we're the reason, so like, fuck it.
But also partly it's kind of on us a bit.
Yeah. But I think Yogscast has changed a fair amount over those, 12 years.
Certainly.
Jesus Christ. It certainly has. Yeah. Like, you can look back at some of those old videos and like, but I think that's also times.
Oh,
that's
my
times
God,
changing,
yeah.
right? Like what you would say in 2008, 2009, there's no fucking way you would say that in 2022. Like, just a more empathetic society. And I think it's good.
Exactly. I think it's good, yeah. Takes other people's feelings and stuff into consideration a lot more. Like, I think it's a change for the better.
Yeah.
So soften up a bit, I guess.
Yeah. Soften up and try and see if, like, work on, like, mirroring the person that you're with. Like I have friends that I would text Ravs and say, hello, you disgusting... ugly
cunt.
Piece of shitty cunty disgusting piece
that's
of shit.
That's just your iMessage also, Phil.
And I literally messaged Lydia yesterday being like, I hope you never recover from your illness, you fucking sea hag. Like, you know?
But I wouldn't send that message to someone else that maybe I don't know so well, because obviously that would be misconstrued and it would seem like I was being really horrible.
Yeah.
So it's all about like assessing your relationship with that person and mirroring and seeing what is okay and just going with that.
I do think that it's fair to say you shouldn't don't erase your fucking character. Don't erase who you are to do that.
Oh, yeah,
like,
no, don't.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
be bending over backwards to like not be yourself, but like maybe it, only needs 50% of you, or this bit only needs 70% of you. Like, there's different situations, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely.
And I mean, equally, fuck it, you got one more year left of them. If they're all fucking just stuck
exactly.
up twats, then fucking you got a year.
Yeah.
If you really want to fucking tell your Hitler and dead baby jokes in a
oh
year's
God.
Time, then, fire away. You've only got one more year of putting up with these people.
And then you can go find some people who will enjoy that.
Yeah. Maybe don't find some people that enjoy Hitler, but,
people out there.
Please don't. That's bad.
Yeah, it's a tough one though. It's tough to also just, it is weird. I guess we, me and Rav's never really experienced it, but that just, you kind of get shoved into a uni house with some people that you have no reason to be friends or hang out apart from you now live together.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird it's kind of a weird experience. Kind of insane. How did you live in halls when you were at uni, Lydia?
I didn't live in halls, but I did live in a uni house.
Was it with friends?
With one of them was my mate, and three of them were strangers. I didn't really get on well with the people, the strangers. Like, I'm sure there are some circumstances where you meet someone and you form a lifelong bond and everything, but that didn't happen with me. It was a bit awkward, actually. And it was one of those classic scenarios of like someone being disgustingly messy and never cleaning up after themselves, and you're it constantly frustrated.
They must have hated you.
I was a pig. I was a slob. So I do sympathize. Like, it is a sort of weird, I guess it's like any kind of like when you rent, like when you're older and in your 20s and you rent with randomers, like, you've kind of, it's potluck. Either you're going to get on and it's going to be great, or it's going to be a fucking nightmare and you live with someone you hate.
I managed to avoid that as well. Fuck, I went to like just solo living. I'm so glad, because the idea of living with like some completely random person, at least at uni, you're like similar age, you got similar things going on in your life. There's like some camaraderie. The idea of just like, you're just living with this random fucking person now, like, kind of terrifies me.
Yeah, I couldn't do it now. I absolutely couldn't do it now. I like my friend has, well, recently she's just bought her own place, so she lives by herself now. But for years, she just lived with all these like random people. And I couldn't. The stories that she would tell me about stuff like, you just don't know.
You don't know.
Like, they seem like a nice person. Yeah, you don't know who this person is. And now you're living with
them. It's
crazy. It's
crazy. Yeah. Like, that is... Oh, God, I just don't like it. It doesn't make me feel safe.
No.
Home is meant to be safe, and just living with complete strangers is just, like, weird.
Well, I mean, Bree's
not the one.
Bree's got to live with Ravs, so that must be fucking grim.
Sad.
I have to live with Bree.
It does work, though. Some people, you know, like, Daph's super into it. It does work for some people. Some people love that lifestyle.
Yeah.
I feel like some people go into it like, we're going to make it like the television show Friends. It's just going to be
this
wild house, and just like, that's not...
We cook together and we go out drinking together.
We're just like introverted. We're too like introverted of that in that way. Like, I need my own space, my own time. Like, I need them to fuck off.
Yeah, 100%. I need you to go away.
Please, that would be great. Should we move on? I think we've got another uni-related question. Should we do another one?
Okay.
I like this next question because it kind of sounds like it's about the person that we just got a question from.
Okay. Do you want to take this one then?
Wait, what? Okay, go for it.
Hello, 0 degrees. I've just moved to uni, and whilst the rest of my flatmates are lovely, one guy is just a complete wanker.
Sorry, full context. I haven't actually fully read both of these questions. I just control F to uni and took the bottom ones because I was like, oh, it's coming back to uni time. We'll just grab them. I didn't know they were. Okay, this is crazy.
He is one of the most patronizing, uptight, and rude people I've ever had the displeasure to meet. On top of being a bit racist and homophobic within 2 days of knowing him. Jesus. He shouts over people trying to have a conversation when he's not a part of it. He gives his opinions on your actions without any sort of prompting to explain why actually you're doing it wrong. And he's elitist about any sort of course that isn't his. Just the other day, he got angry that someone had left their ketchup in the fridge because that's not where it goes, in brackets, it does, and wouldn't accept that it's not his problem. He told someone moving in front of their mum that they weren't allowed to set up in our kitchen because he wanted it to be a veggie kitchen. I'm vegan, and even I think that's mental and incredibly demeaning. Oh, and he also tried to convince me, a state school student, that the average family has money to invest into stocks and that after uni, 100k would be a decent salary. This guy's making me angry. Anyway, rant aside, what can I do about this situation? At this point, it's just me and the rest of the flatmates calling him a prick behind
what
his back.
Jesus.
It started
this
off
guy
like,
is
oh,
such
this is
a cunt.
Yeah, it started off like funny, like, oh, it sounds like the guy before. And then it got to racist and homophobic, and it was like, oh, God. Yeah, this guy is awful.
I mean, just like, you got to get rid, right? Like,
oh my God, he sounds fucking vile.
Get this cunt out of your house.
Jesus.
Is there a system in place for that in uni halls?
You could probably request that they... I mean, to be honest, it sounds like why does the guy not want to leave himself? Do you know what I mean? Unless he like revels in being a dickhead.
Yeah.
Like, I am mind blown. It doesn't sound like he's getting on with anyone. I don't know why he wants to fucking stay.
This guy sounds like a fucking cunt. Oh my God, I'm like so mad.
Jesus Christ. I'm trying to work out if it's halls or a shared house. They say my flatmates are lovely, which makes me think it's a house rather than halls.
But they also say I've just moved to uni, and usually first years you do halls.
Yeah, it usually is halls.
It sounds like the UK, doesn't it? They say state school, so it's not American where it's all weird and you do halls all the time or something.
Yeah. You share a room.
I feel like you got to find make a friend in another flat in your halls. And get them to do a swap or something. Be like, oh, we really want our friend to come live with us. Oh, you know, do you mind swapping rooms with them? Something like that. You got to get an in and out. You got to get rid. This isn't like a I can fix you situation. This guy is like mentally brain damaged. Like, he's unfixable. Just get rid.
What the fuck?
This guy's drinking the fucking Nigel Farage juice, man. Like, he's a fucking piece of shit.
So
he certainly doesn't sound northern
just...
to me either.
No, I don't think it's the other guy. No, it can't be the other guy.
No, the whole fucking just thinking 100k is a decent salary,
decent.
And families have money to invest into. Yeah, this guy is so out of touch.
Me. That guy's so out of touch, man. Like, fucking, what a fucking cunt.
Is there like, how he said that, is there like any, like, do you need to like make him realize how out of touch he is? Like, is that like now your life missions to like show this guy that he is a fucking cunt?
Like, no, Harry, that's a very sensible thing that you just proposed there. Where my brain went is a place out of spite and hatred, where I would make this guy's life hell. I would be fucking like smearing fish paste on his fucking room's radiator. I'd be pissing in his bed and shit. I'd be doing all sorts.
I would say, that's kind of my as a reaction, but you don't do anything that's going to get you kicked out of the uni halls.
Yeah. I know, but I'm so filled with spite and hatred for this person.
I mean, is it also a great bonding experience actually for you and the other flatmates? You know, a common enemy is usually like a great way to make friends, you know.
That's true.
Like, see it as that positive. You're gonna really be great friends with your other flatmates unless he just like tears it all apart. I don't know.
Yeah, you guys will probably become really good friends over hating him. I would okay, so straight up, start calling him out when he says racist and homophobic shit.
Call him out.
Start calling him out when he says all of this completely out of touch shit. Start fucking calling him out when he's telling people they can't. I honestly think someone like this, you just need to be straight up with them and be like, you can't fucking say that. Like, or, you know, maybe you don't swear at them. But if that's I don't know if you're starting, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
Effectively, he hasn't been parented at all. And it's now sadly partly your job to reteach this broken human some manners. So, good
he's
luck.
Got what he wanted. He's never been questioned. No. He's just a self-entitled dickhead. I would, you don't want to start arguments with him, but at the same time, I would call him out because he sounds insufferable.
I'm doing a breathing. I'm calming myself down. Maybe there is hope for this person. Maybe, you know, maybe they will see the error of their ways. Probably not because they're a lizard person, but also... I mean, the racist
and the homophobic shit, that's fucking easy as fuck. That's like clap, like,
easy clap, report that to your uni.
Yeah, done. Like, that shit just, like, you just, that's a nope. Like, you know, the other stuff is like,
yeah, that's a fucking
the other
nope.
stuff is like harder to call out, but like, that is super easy to call out. That's like, that's not difficult at all.
Also, who made them the authority of the kitchen? Get in there and start fucking slapping some meat.
They're
about
vegan.
Vegan as well. Just do it
just
to spite them.
Spite them. Just get in there and fucking start chopping up some animals.
Oh my god.
I don't advocate for that.
Get a flat chicken. Yeah. Don't do it. Don't get a flat chicken.
Don't get a flat chicken. Yep.
If it got really bad and you were like finding it insufferable, I wonder if it's possible for the person writing it to be moved into a different hall.
Yeah, probably.
But then I guess maybe they'd have to leave behind the friends that the other people. But if it was like, I cannot stand this guy, I hate him so much, I wonder if it's possible to request a transfer or something to somewhere else.
I feel like it's
just not worth it.
I feel like
it.
It's better to try and get him to transfer somewhere else.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's the ideal, like, right? Get rid of him. But he sounds like the kind of prick that wouldn't leave.
But also, if you're stuck with him, like, you know, if he is an arsehole who, like, drinks fancy squash, as English people call it, replace it with, like, the supermarket brand, like, without telling him, you know, fucking, just change the labels on stuff. Just fuck with him.
Get joy out of it. Get small victories.
That's
small victories. Small joy,
Small victories. Make him see what it's like to fucking...
I'm pretty sure do not do the money. Meat rubbing meat everywhere. I'm pretty sure that is a hate crime. I don't think you can do that.
Okay, don't do that.
Don't do that.
But he's not the sole authority of that kitchen.
No.
Fuck
no.
I feel like
it's repulsive that he thinks
it depends
he is.
On how many people are in the flat, right? Because if it's like one of those huge ones where you've got like 11 people, just fucking band together. Because like 10 people telling this guy to fuck off, he probably will just fuck off. Like,
exactly.
As long as you like keep a log or like record him doing these things, because you don't want to be hit, like, it to come across as you guys are bullying him. Like, if he's truly being a dickhead, you need like hardcore evidence. So if he ever goes to the uni and is like, they're being mean to me.
But also, just because he's talking loud doesn't mean you need to fucking listen to him either. If he's like barking orders and shit to you, just ignore him. Who the fuck is he? Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. God, I'm so sorry.
Does the ketchup go in the fridge?
Well, Lydia, this is too controversial.
That's
a separate question.
Okay, we need to know where 0 degrees lies on this. I am a ketchup in the cupboard boy.
Lydia?
Okay. You know what? My heart says ketchup in the cupboard, but actually, I'm pretty sure my ketchup is in the fridge right now. So I'm a bit all over the show.
Do you know what,
Harry?
I probably would do both. I don't feel that strongly about either.
I'm not a hater if it's in the fridge, but like
the only thing is, I usually have more room in my cupboards than my fridge. Usually my fridge is quite full, and like you know, there's like little bottle racks you get on like the side of the fridge. Like,
yeah,
that's usually filled with like you know mayo stuff that does actually go in the fridge, like and needs to go in the fridge. So like, I feel like I'll put it in there sometimes. Then I'll put it in the cupboard sometimes.
I feel like I've just made like a bacon roll or some shit though. Like I don't want like cold ketchup on top of it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
True. Yeah, that is weird. I wouldn't on some hot food. I would find it weird.
Yeah,
I feel like it's where
and like dipping your chips into cold ketchup is a bit.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
Yeah,
I don't think I wouldn't put that out of choice, but it can go in there sometimes. I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah,
it's all right. Yeah, it's okay.
All right, like we've settled the real problem. all right, so our final point on this is I don't really know where we landed. Really,
I'm so sorry.
Fuck that guy. That's our official take. Try get rid of him. Evict him. I don't know. Do something.
Something
legal though. Don't do anything illegal.
Don't
listen to anything I said.
Don't listen to anything Rav said.
I am filled with spite and hatred.
Rav
so,
said this is a
you know,
comedy piece. This is all theatrics and not real. Rav doesn't actually.
Rav's reviews do not reflect that.
Rav's is alone. Rav's is a known entity. Rav's gambling debt is not associated with 0 degrees. That's our statement.
I will be taking a break from social media to think about things. I will be back tomorrow.
Fuck's sake. All right, should we do one more?
Hi, dudes. I got a main question and a mini question. The mini question is, why is your podcast channel on YouTube under the Pickaxe Podcasts and doesn't have its own like other podcasts do, such as Hat Chat and Triforce? I'm only just became aware of your podcast in the last 2 weeks. It was the 17th of October.
2 days ago.
Due to this, I think you might be limiting your audience.
Yep.
Glad I found it though.
I mean, well, either way, we were going to have to start a new channel. It's not like we had, had a channel that existed before that we could put stuff on.
Yeah.
I think it just, you know, I imagine with time there'll be other podcasts that live on that channel. So.
Exactly.
Which is the first.
But right now, we're just the first, you know. Pickaxe Podcasts on YouTube. That's where the poddy goes out.
We were also conscious early on that we all already have a lot of channels, places, social media, things. And we were like, we've got to keep it as limited as possible because we already have our own Discord, we already have our own Twitter. Like, there's a lot of things and places to look at things, and we were conscious of not making too many different places to look at things. So putting it under the Pickaxe one, I think, made most sense.
And it's weird that our podcast network had nothing on it.
I like that. I feel like we're like the champagne bottle getting smashed on the boat.
Yeah, exactly.
It's good. I'm glad we're the first ones. So I imagine there'll be more on the channel as time goes on. So if not, we'll just fucking rename it to 0 degrees.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I'll just fucking pull the flag down. Is that a rule? Like, if it's only us for a year, we get it. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess so.
Fuck it. That's the rule.
You know what?
After a year, I'm just gonna change it and see if anyone notices. And if I don't work for the Oscars anymore, that explains why.
So that was the mini question. They said, glad I found it though. The foreskin shit and cum pizza made my day. I mean, I've had pizza under my foreskin and shit in my cum before, but I never knew about other variables.
God
damn it. Trying to be a funny haha man.
Trying to do a funny.
Okay, I see you. Trying to do a funny hee hee. okay, onto the main cut of this question though. My main question is as follows. I work for one of the largest telecoms companies in the UK. I won't name it, but it rhymes with Schmergen Bledia. however, in my department, there's very little opportunity for progression or promotion. Nevertheless, I was all but promised that due to my technical and legal prowess, I would be promoted or at least given a pay rise as a reward for my hard work and result-based contributions. I have saved the company millions. All right, still a fucking flex there, okay? Still a fucking flex, you know, just fucking helping old Richard Branson keep some money there, asshole. That's actually not a flex, that's an unflex. That's an this was about 3 years ago now. Anyway, in a one-to-one with my manager recently, I was told that it was all lip service, there won't be any progression, and it's just a carrot-slash-stick affair. Strung along much? Sad face. Now, I don't blame my manager for it, as she's powerless to do anything beyond make recommendations, and even her manager's powerless, as it's a director-level decision. But this seems pretty scummy to me. What should I do? I feel I should either leave, but this is hard as the work conditions are otherwise good, or I should start to take the piss and instead of getting more money and progression, I simply slow right down, getting paid the same, but for much less effort, thereby increasing my hourly rate in an effort versus pay type situation. Guide me, almighty 0 degrees.
So what? There's a term for this going around, isn't there? I saw a lot of news articles about it over the last like couple of weeks, like soft quitting or something.
Is that what that means? I kept seeing that pop up on Twitter.
Soft quitting or something like that.
Didn't look it up though. Yeah.
God, I mean, do whatever the fuck you want, but I just feel like, to me, like slowly not caring and not putting in effort. I feel like they're just going to hate their fucking job by the end of it. Do you know what I mean? They'll just become so disconnected. And equally, my worry with stuff like that is just, are you going to get a shitty fucking... This feels like quite a big and important job in their career. And are you going to get a shitty reference? Like, you need a really... You can leave right now and it's been golden and you've, you know, cracked the case and so the millions and you get this glowing reference to find your new job with. Instead, if you just fucking dick around for 8 years... And then finally decide, oh, I want some more money and I'll go elsewhere. But then your reference, you know, your managers would have changed and they'll just know you as the guy who vaguely does the stuff that's needed. Like, I just worry that, that it's like, you're setting yourself up to fail. It sounds like they were quite, you know, I mean, aside of their terrible jokes, quite a intelligent person that's doing really well. I just feel like it's a shame to kind of curtail that by, yeah, fuck it. Like, yeah, I'll just stop.
I think a lot of it comes down to like, if you're otherwise really happy in your job, like it's hard to find a job that you're happy in. So if this person is like, I actually really love this job. Like if you're content to earn what you're earning and you're happy, then I guess just stick with it because, you know, happiness is like, is super important. Sure. And if it, you know, however, if you're like, meh, I'm not really that fussed about the job. You don't, like Harry said, you don't want to end up just staying there for years and years and years and never making any progression and always feeling unfulfilled. I think take the bull by the horns and look for something else because it sounds like you're very driven and it sounds like you're a really hard worker. And if you applied that to a job which actually does have promotions, think how much you could succeed and how much you could achieve with that same mindset in a different place of work.
Equally, that might, you know, if you actually are hunting for jobs and then you can turn around to them and say, well, I have offers. There's suddenly leverage there to actually maybe get the progression and...
Exactly. They might be like, oh, no, we were going to make you a manager, actually. It wasn't all a lie. Fuck, shit.
Like, I mean, what's the losing case, right? If there are jobs out there in a field that you like, go and look at them. Apply to them. It's nothing...
Yeah. They're giving you the lip service and you're taking it. You need to like show some backbone and say, well, actually, I have some offers for some other jobs. So unless you start paying me more or give me another position or promotion.
I want to stay.
So I would rather you give me a promotion or give me another position or a pay rise. Take that to the director because that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
If you're currently a good employee that saved them a lot of money, they should be like, oh, fuck, yeah, well, fuck, well, here's a pay rise. Here's an assistant manager position or some shit.
The reality is, if it's just being like recommendations, then it's not, it'll be taken a little bit seriously, but not super seriously. You've got to put a little bit of weight behind it. And I think putting weight behind it is going and showing that you'll look for other jobs. And then if you, the quiet quitting strategy still is like open to you at any point through doing that. I think it's sad. It just makes me a little bit sad that you want to stop your like eagerness for progression and promotion because they're kind of poo-pooing it a little bit. Don't let them get you down. Keep going.
Yeah. I think stay if you genuinely love the job and you're really happy. Mm. But if there's any shadow of a doubt and you think about what you could do in a different place where you could progress and you could grow, I think leave. And before you leave, essentially threaten them. Not threaten them.
And before you leave, say,
I've got offers.
Amazing internet free for a year. That'd be amazing.
That would be so sweet. Thank you.
I will leave BT, who I do swear by, for Virgin Media.
Oh, yeah, BT's great.
Schmergen Media
for free internet, please. But I do think it's fucked that they've they were like promised for like 3 years and then they just turned around and said, oh, actually, no, sorry, that's not happening. Like, I do think that's awful. That would make me want to leave. I'd be like, fuck you guys.
Going forward, get that shit in writing and in emails and stuff.
I think that's the moment you got to go and apply for other jobs and be like, well, look, it's not happening then. You got to show me some progress. Like, it's bullshit.
I would leave personally. I would leave. Like, I think that situation is bullshit and you could succeed and grow somewhere else where this place obviously is just not going to happen.
Yeah.
So I'd say get the fuck out of there, but you know.
It's hard to say without more context.
It's hard. Yeah.
But good luck. I hope it works out. It's kind of stressful, that kind of stuff.
That sounds like a fun one for a little update. Yeah. Let us know how it went. Yeah,
give us an update. Yeah.
Mr. Smurgeon Bledia.
Smurgeon Bledia. Mr. Smurgeon Bledia.
For fuck's sake. All right, I think that's a good place to call it.
Yeah.
We rambled a lot.
So much.
No time for a question roulette today. We'll do it some other time.
Yes. Yes, question roulette.
Yeah.
God.
And send in more questions. These were some good questions this week.
Yeah, there's been some...
We need to use our brain for these ones.
Yeah,
October's had some really good questions so far, so...
Absolutely.
Good shit.
So keep sending them in. We're loving them.
We love them. Pickaxe.uk/ZD.
It's in the description. It's in the podcast description.
It's in the fucking description. If you don't know where it is by now, what the fuck is... what are we on, like, episode 20? Come on, figure it out.
Yeah. I feel like we should do, like...
I don't know where it is.
Do you know what? Should we do, like, a little, like... question game. Okay, can people submit? I want people to submit questions that are the length of a tweet. So you get, what is it, 280 characters? Go to Twitter, type out your question, and that will tell you how long your question can be, and then submit it into the form. I want to see if we can get some, like, short fire real quick. Like, they can be small ones that you need
more
today.
More concise.
Yeah, because I love the big long ones, but I want to see if we can...
Snappy, quick fire.
I want to
like
break a 0 degrees record. Can we do like 10 questions in an episode or something?
Okay.
Send us some real short...
Question-pull-answer.
Yeah, some real rapid-fire ones. I'm interested. Because I'm loving these long ones, but I want to see some more short ones.
Maybe like some themes. We've got stuff coming up. We've got like Halloween and things like that. If you have some themed questions
Christmas.
As well, they'd be great.
Christmas. There's always lots of questions.
Christmas on the way.
Much like the shops, start sending in your fucking Christmas stuff now because we got it. By the time we get to it,
it'll probably be Christmas.
It's
it'll
summer.
Be next Christmas.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake. Thank you for listening, though. Thank you. Sorry we missed a week. Sorry this one's a bit late. It's still been a bit up in the air. But we'll be back to it.
Hopefully back to your regular messy content soon.
Yep.
And Patreon coming soon, TM. We better go do that meeting.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you soon. Bye.
Ciao. Bye.